Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I probably should have scanned the pictures and put them up on the screen for you to be able to see them too, but you can see them later. But I'll tell you more about the cars. 1971 Triumph Spitfire Mark IV. And it was the spring of 1979. I paid $700 for this convertible sports car with money that I had saved up from delivering the old Journal Herald. Do you remember the Journal Herald in the Dayton area? I delivered that in the mornings. And also mowing lawns and for the neighbors and the city of Oakwood. Then you could bid on and mow boulevards for the city of Oakwood down in Dayton. So I saved up my money. I didn't have my driver's license yet. My older brother, Alan, was able to drive my car before I could. Now, of course, I drove it up and down the driveway, forward, reverse. I was only in ninth grade, and I was 15. But soon it would come. Now, I have to tell you, that car, when I bought it, was the ugliest color of yellow you could ever see. That would change soon. Working with my dad, we repainted the car a bright red, and that was only the beginning of the work. Soon, a handmade cherry dash replaced the old wood dash, and new carpet replaced the old carpet. I put an air horn in. Boy, that was loud, but I put the air horn in. Anything to make the car be better. A few years passed, and I bought a second Triumph Spitfire, and it was to begin a ground-up rebuild on mine. The second car furnished a frame that was straight and true, and I took everything apart, cleaned it, painted it with the help of my dad, gloss black epoxy paint for the frame and for the suspension. I learned to weld so I could put new sheet metal in for the rockers and other parts, replacing the overabundance of Bondo that was in the car. Even the engine was taken out and had two cylinders re-sleeved to restore the bores. The only thing I did not take apart was the transmission. Everything else was taken apart. My dad was transferred to Boston, Massachusetts area, and so we pulled the Spitfire to Boston, Massachusetts, and that was an adventure. Just outside of Cleveland, one end of the pole bar pulled loose. Thank goodness for safety chains. That made all the difference. We left the car in the Cleveland area, because we'll come back then to get it and trailer it the rest of the way to Boston. But here's the great irony. The place we left it in Cleveland was at the Oakwood-Bedford exit at 271. Are you familiar with that? This is the irony. We were moving from Oakwood to Bedford in Massachusetts. So I thought that was pretty irony that we left it in Cleveland. But my mom and I came back a week later and U-Haul trailered it to Bedford. More work in Bedford than back to school, and the car sat in the storage area of Hanscom Air Force Base while I went back to studies at Ohio State. The next summer, worked on the car again, and that big moment came. Everything hooked up, battery charged, oil in the engine, gas in the tank, and you sit in that car, you push that clutch down, put the car in transmission, foot on the brake. You turn the key once and energize everything, and you go. And you turn it that little bit more, and the engine turns over, and it started the first time. I was glowing from ear to ear. Repainting it bright red came a little later. And so from parts all over the place to a running, beautiful 1971 Triumph Spitfire sports car convertible. Did I mention it was bright red? And it was fun to drive. And it got great gas mileage, too. And you know, there's satisfaction in bringing things to a completion. Yet sometimes this time of discouragement or disillusionment, they slip in and setting aside and even stopping the task. Other times, other things come up like a move, and the task gets sidetracked. Still other times, the feeling of inadequacy or lack of ability keeps the task just out of reach. Yet carrying it through till the end is an important lesson to learn. Now, when you add people into the mix of the task, It multiplies the challenges, for human nature can be quite fickle. And this is especially true in ministry. We're coming to the end of our walk through the book of Colossians. This last section is filled with name upon name of fellow workers in Christ. Each one named is sharing in the work of Christ. Paul did not do all the work of sharing Jesus by himself. Many named and many more unnamed share in the work as fellow workers. Men and women from all levels of society, believers in Jesus. And as they came to know the Lord, they had to share the Lord with another. They shared Jesus. This list at the letter to the end of Colossians is a very special list. Tychicus was the letter deliverer to the times by Paul. He was an Asian Christian and accompanied Paul in his final journey to Jerusalem. Paul made use of Tychicus to deliver letters to the various places. And when Tychicus would arrive in Colossae, he would share more about Paul's particular circumstances. Meeting in person, he would share the things instead of writing them in the letter. In a way, this is Paul's way of focusing the letter on Christ and Christ alone. His own needs, they can be shared personally, but they don't need to be in the letter because the letter's about Christ. Tychicus is described by Paul as a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Traveling with Tychicus is Onesimus. The letter of Philemon tells Onesimus's story. He's a slave that ran away. Hearing Paul preach, Onesimus became a follower of Jesus. Onesimus became a servant to Paul, freely serving Paul in the jail, caring for Paul. Paul writes and asks Philemon to see his slave Onesimus with new eyes. See Onesimus as a brother in Christ. It's very possible that Onesimus was sent to Colossae to share Jesus with the slaves that made up a good portion of the congregation at Colossae. In this way, the gospel of Jesus was being told to all the people at all levels of life in Colossae. Aristarchus was with Paul on his third missionary journey in Asia Minor. He was a Macedonian from Thessalonica. He was with Paul in the riots in Ephesus, and he's now with Paul in Rome, faithfully serving Paul. And it's very possible Aristarchus was also under jail because he is called and sharing the fellow imprisonment. A very interesting name is Mark, cousin of Barnabas. This is John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. When Peter was miraculously delivered from prison by the angel, it was to the house of Mary, John Mark's mother, that Peter fled to. It was in the house of Mary that the faithful were gathered to pray for Peter's release. Mark eventually ends up serving Peter in Rome also, while Peter's imprisoned in Rome. Justus, another Jew who was a fellow worker with Paul. These men, these fellow workers, were a source of strength and comfort for Paul. Paul, in all his abilities and in his unique calling, was not able to do all the ministry alone. Ministry is meant to be done in teamwork, as fellow workers together for the kingdom of God. Epaphras, one of the ones from Colossae, a fellow servant of Christ, sent his greetings. Epaphras was wrestling with prayer for the church at Colossae, that they may stand firm and do the will of God and grow into maturity, fully assured of the Christ they were taught is the Christ that saves. Paul vouched for Epaphras that he's working hard, and also for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Remember, Epaphras was the one that brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to Colossae. It was Epaphras that God used to establish the church. Our dear friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. This is Luke, the writer of the gospel of Luke, and also the writer of Acts. He is with Paul. He's the beloved physician to Paul. Demas eventually will desert Paul. Greetings are sent to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And after the letter had been read there, and Colossae is to be read to the church in Laodicea. And there's a letter that's sent to Laodicea. It was to be read to Colossae. We don't know what happened to that letter to Laodicea. The letter is to be read in the gathering of the believers. This letter then is to be sent on to another gathering of believers. Paul understood his communications were authoritative for the good of the church. Paul wrote to make clear the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote Colossians to build up the believers with a clear understanding of who Jesus the Christ truly is and what it means to follow him. Nympha opened her home to the gathering for the place of the church in Laodicea. For the first about 250 years of the Christian church, the gatherings, the meetings, the worship, the breaking of the bread and communion took place in homes of the believers. The letters from Paul and the other apostles were to be read in these house churches. The content of the letters was to be learned and discussed. The letters, they were held in high esteem by the early church in such a fashion that these letters became holy scripture. The teachings from these letters were passed on to the next generation in full accuracy and truth of such great value. The early church, as I said, declared them to be holy scripture, breathed from God for the church. These letters were seen and experienced to be written by the hand of God, just like the books of Moses. Just like the history books of Israel, just like the books of the prophets, these letters that were being circulated amongst the churches were seen to be breathed and written by the hand of God. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. That's the way the NIV translates it. The North American Standard Bible translates it this way. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Archippus is related to Philemon. Most likely, Archippus is Philemon's son. Now, this message from Paul does not necessarily mean that Archippus was negligent in his ministry. On the contrary, this message from Paul is more of a reminder of the importance of ministry. A reminder the ministry came from the Lord, and therefore every diligence is to be employed in the fulfillment of this vital thing. A reminder that the ministry comes from the Lord, and as such, Archippus, you can make it through any difficulty, just as Paul is able to preach Christ in all circumstances, including imprisonment. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Paul wrote this letter himself. His own hand put the ink on the page. But what stands out even more is, remember my chains. Remember my chains. Really let that sink in. Remember my chains. Remember all that Paul has suffered for Christ. Remember all that he has gone through so that the early church would have the foundation of accurate and truthful faith in Jesus Christ. Remember it all because the gospel of Jesus Christ is worth it all. These letters that have transformed people through the centuries, and these letters have transformed the world through the years. But now, we have a whole new generation turning away. And this turning away was foreseen in Scripture, as we heard in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We have gone through the whole letter of Colossians. And now, what does this mean for you? This is what it means. There is ministry for you to do. Each one of you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, have a ministry to do. There is an adventure of faith awaiting you, from the oldest to the youngest here. If I may say so, from about 94 plus, on to not quite 2 years old, there's a ministry for each one of you to do. As Christians, you have a ministry which is much more than faithfully attending worship. You have a ministry to the lost who don't know Christ. You have a calling that is calling you to be willing to give up your all for Christ Jesus. Paul wrote, "Remember my chains." The time for comfortable Christianity has passed. The time for comfortable Christianity has passed. Now is the time for Christianity that has the full strength of your entire life, all your resources placed at the disposal of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and broken world. Listen to the lyrics of the song, Build Your Kingdom. We'll be singing that song to close worship today. This is verse 3. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty-changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. And then the chorus. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Brothers and sisters, we are the church. Brothers and sisters, we are the hope on earth. And that hope is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So I bring you back to the beginning of Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Brothers and sisters, we are servants of this gospel. And we are to proclaim this gospel, the reconciliation through his blood shed on the cross, until the day he returns. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's a reminder that Christ will come in the glory of heaven and establish his reign. But until that day comes, you and I are the bearers of the good news. You and I, the church, are the hope on earth. The time for comfortable Christianity is past. Remember Paul's chains. And like he, give your all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is worth it. Give your all for Christ. For he gave his all, as we were redeemed by his precious blood. He is Lord, he is King, and he's coming again in glory. Church, rise in his power and spread the good news. Amen.